Well, that was a wonderful presentation of the Passion narrative, and thank you, Hedy, Richard, and Pete for that, and also all of you for your part. So it's very good. I want to, this morning, point to something in the reading that we had at the very beginning when we were outside and blessing the palm. And I was thinking about how long, you know, many of us have been in church and how many Palm Sundays we've been to. You know, I'm getting near 70 Palm Sundays. Some of you might be over that. Some of you under that, but we're around that. I imagine that collectively we have maybe hundreds of Palm Sundays, maybe thousands of Palm Sundays represented here. And I'm kind of wondering, have any of you ever heard a sermon, teaching, or explanation about throwing the cloaks or their coats or garments on the ground? Why? Because you're going to hear one this morning. Maybe for the first time. Okay, so Carol raised her hand for that. Where did you hear that?
Probably in St. Mary's.
Maybe. Okay, all right. So here we are. This one time amongst thousands represented here that you the first time you might be hearing about this. The cloaks or the garments in the translation we were read as they were put on the street before Jesus entered into Jerusalem, that meant something. It was more than respect. It meant something very specific. And it means something for us too. In fact, there's a few symbolic things here that went on in real time there. For example, the donkey, the king, that is a symbol of a king entering a new city in peace, a conquering king, but in peace. And with Jesus here, he rode an unbroken animal, the colt of a donkey, never been ridden before. And it showed, you know, I mean, for one thing, it showed the physical strength of Jesus, of course, and many other things about him. And it was also a borrowed animal. And in that culture, more so than in this culture, An animal was absolutely essential to the prosperity, the survival of any given household. And of course, a household was a center of business in those days. You didn't leave home and go to work and then come back at the end of the day. Where you made your living was from your home, and your animals were a big part of that. And so here comes two people sent by Jesus, and they just start taking this colt. And you know, a colt, a young, unbroken animal, represents a longer future of economic prosperity for that household than some of the other animals. So you would be thinking that the owner would be coming out and saying, "Hey, what are you doing? Don't be taking that animal." And, you know, Jesus had sent them and said, "Just say the Lord has need of it. And so that's what they said. Very significant that the man just said, "Oh, well, okay, the Lord has need of it." And the two of them who went there, they did not present a stewardship campaign. They did not have flyers. They did not have programmatic motivation or any coercion. They didn't say, "Well, for this, we're giving this much, and we hope that you'll consider giving that." None of that happened. Is said the Lord has need of it, which I think is the most fruitful and effective stewardship approach anyway, as you know from the way we've been doing it these past few years. But here it is with them. And what it represents is that this particular man who owned these animals recognized and received the authority of Jesus. And then we have the palms, of course, and the palm, as we saw in the prayer outside, represent welcoming a new king. So here's the crowd. They're welcoming a new king. and with the waving of the palm, and here comes Jesus on the unbroken colt, and they start putting their garments down on the path for him to come up. Now it's important to consider, where do these garments come from? You know, if you had clothes in those days, you did not go to the store. You did not go to Amazon and order them so they'd be delivered to your house. None of this happened. You didn't look at advertisements on TV or magazines or whatever and say, well, that's the one. I want that one. That was it. You made your own clothes. And what you wore is what you made. Clothes, shoes, everything, all of it. And so they meant something more than, well, that looks good on you. Or you wear something that says, oh yeah, that's you. It was something more of your identity, of what you were able to create. It was an expression of your name, you might say. Even if you weren't good at it, that's what it was. Something that you made for your own self. Sometimes the Greek word for cloak is translated as mantle. And of course, a mantle is, among other things, means something about you, your abilities, your gifting, your contribution to the community, things like that. So it represented who you are and how you provided yourself in a very personal way, in a way we're not all that acquainted with today. So here you are, you're in the crowd, Jesus is coming, maybe you're waving palm branches or something else, and Jesus is already on the horse or the colt, and he's coming up, and you take off your outer cloak and you put it on the ground. Well, this is not middle-aged chivalry. This is a sign that you are receiving the authority of Jesus in your life. The custom in the East in ancient times was when a king was coming into the city, they would take your outer garment off or whatever you had, and you put it on the road, and that was a sign that you were receiving that king's authority, that you were going to live under that king's authority from that moment on. That's the way it is. That's the way it was here with Jesus. And what's very powerful is that the ones who did that in the face of the other Jews who weren't doing it, as well as the Romans. That would have caused them an awful lot of trouble, as we've seen from time to time. So here they are, face of the Jews, face of the Romans, which may have been some of their family, some of their neighbors, or some others in authority, and they're saying, the one whose authority I follow is this one, Jesus. Now, that's what I want to leave you with today. You know, for whom would you spread your cloak on the road for? If you had the choice today, under whose authority would you choose to live? And what outward sign would you give of that? So that it's not only really a solid commitment for you, but it's a solid personal commitment that everybody around you can see. I live under the authority of Jesus. Would you choose Jesus, or would you choose something or someone else to live under their authority? It's a very challenging thought, especially in Western culture, where we have competing authorities, and in our country and other democracies, there's elections where authority is the main question during an election season. We also have in Western culture, and a particular way of it in the American mind, is an individual authority, our preferences, what we've worked for, what we do, that's the authority we come under. the way that I choose. All of those are in front of us, and perhaps some more, or the authority of Jesus. So what I'm suggesting is that perhaps every day we take our outer garment and put it on the road for one authority or another. And we can choose under which authority we will live. And there's another way that this can work, because we can have a time in our life where we say, I want my life to be under the authority of Jesus. And that becomes a big step for us, and we start growing into that. The process of growing into that would be this. Would you freely come under the authority of Jesus every time Jesus brings something new into your life? That could be challenging as well. As you might be going along saying, hey, this following Jesus, this is great. This is what I really wanted to do. And then Jesus brings something else along into your life that is not in the center of your gifting. It's not the way that you were thinking. It wasn't what you pictured the way that it would be in whatever area of your life it is. Would you put your outer garment on that road that he's walking into your life? That can be a daily question. It's another way of saying take up your cross daily and follow me, remembering that the cross, as we saw just a moment ago and we'll see on Good Friday and see often, is an instrument of death, not an instrument of frustration. There's things we die to so we'll be raised to new life. And that is what it is to come under the authority of Jesus. You know, it's following his direction and his action or our preferences. Now, let me just pose one other question, and then I'll leave that with you. We'll go to the Lord's table and we'll see what the Lord does here. What can we do at St. Francis to demonstrate what a whole community is like that recognizes and receives the authority of Jesus over all it does? How can we, in this fellowship, communicate, make decisions, worship, spend money, do other things that demonstrate that we have come under the authority of Jesus in everything we do? Now, I'm not saying we never wanted to do that, or that we are going against that, or we'd say absolutely no way. I'm saying that is a continual challenge and opportunity, if you will, for us all the time that comes from Jesus. There's a flow of Jesus from Jesus that comes to us that says, follow me. And to follow him corporately is also to come under his authority. So let me leave those questions with you this morning. And I think the main question, which often is the main question, as you consider that, what is the Spirit of God telling you? What is the Spirit of God bringing up within your soul and speaking to you, or pointing to you, or tapping you on the shoulder about, or impressing you with, or however the Spirit of God might communicate with you? What is that? To take that up is to take your outer garment and put it on the road as a symbol of coming under his authority. Please consider that as deeply as you can. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we see you entering our lives, seated on a colt, as a king coming in peace. We ask for the ability, insight, and power of your Spirit to remove our outer garments, put them on the road as a sign that we choose to live with your authority every day of our lives for the glory of your name. Amen.